just like the movie we're going to be talking about tonight. We are going to be on the beach this afternoon as we look at one of the greatest films from 1986, a VHS classic starring Shokosugi. This is the one when we're indoors, when the hail was cranking, and of course we got the windows down in the middle of the 1986 summer heat. That is, of course, Rage of Honor. The film straight after Pray for Death that, of course, Shokosugi knocked out as Shiro Tanaka vows revenge against those that kidnapped his girlfriend. He tracks down the killers from Singapore to Buenos Aires in South America, deep into the jungles, where, of course, he's armed with an arsenal of deadly ninja weapons. He ninjas his way to get her free for freedom. The Shokosugi movie that beats all others. Rage of Honor, here tonight on the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Hey, laddie, this is your mate Stu, all the way from Aberdeen. Now, let me tell you something, and no mistake, let me tell you that the mother tonight going to be talking about Kosugi. We call him Kosugi, laddie. Yeah, and then, you know, there's something about this lad. You know, he likes ninja stars and all that shit. But let me tell you something, he's going to be all right in this one. It's kind of like James Bond meets ninja, or ninja meets James Bond, all those gadgets like. And who knows, he might even have a pint afterwards. But the SOB knows what he's doing when it comes to these drug dealers and narc agents, eh?
I sit here waiting, contemplating what's the best day. Watching that movie, how to leave the moment. Wow, I'm the leader. Wow, I'm the leader.
And welcome back to the Lethal Mullet Podcast. I'm your host, Adam O'Brien, and thank you very much for checking out the last couple of shows. We have some live shows here and there, but we're back into full podcasting mode here, folks. A lot more audio-based content for you over the next couple of busy work weeks in my working life, but let me tell you something. We're going to be definitely looking at some great classics. Tonight, we're going to be looking at Rage of Honor, probably the be-all and end-all of the James Bond ninja-style sort of flicks that, of course, Rage of Honor was when it come down to the Gordon Hessler ninja movies of Shokosugi. We'll talk about that and, of course, previous classic that he did to this in 85, Pray for Death, which we've covered here before on the show. But tonight, a little bit of news, too, coming up about some of the shows that we're going to be doing. Obviously, we've been knocking out some great stuff, and we're still to do yet the Cynthia Rothrock classic, named after me, as, of course, China O'Brien. We're going to be looking at, of course, she's just been out here in Australia recently. We'll talk about a little bit about that. But before we get into any of that tonight, this is how you can catch this show and many others like it on the Lethal Mullet Podcast Network.
G'day, mate. How you going? Welcome to the Lethal Mullet Network, where you'll find all these amazing shows and more. Where you'll find the Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of action cinema from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. You'll also find Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast, where I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Mark Newbold, into a deep dive of Star Trek. You'll also find Mullet and Kilt, a look at music, where I'm joined by my dear pal, Darth Elvis, and where you can also find the Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe, all here on, of course, lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com, or on your favourite podcatcher. You can find us there. You can also find all these shows a week later on, of course, the one, the only Fandom Podcast Network, FPN, on fbnet.podbean.com. Don't forget to also follow us on socials. There's, of course, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the handle at the Lethal Mullet. We'll catch you out there and enjoy your action cinema.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has many a thing to say about deep thought. And Deep Thought itself has many a thing to say about the guide, who are going to give you a guide through the maelstrom and enormity of the guide itself. Hosted by two unexpected travelers, the Lethal Mullet, all the way from Quinlan's Cantina in the Milky Way, and of course, Dan the Man from Birmingham, all on the other side of the water. They have hitched a ride and come to Ursa Minor. Tell you all about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which you can find whenever you find good podcasts.
That's right, folks. Check out the brand new show, Deep Thought Life, Douglas Adams and Everything, monthly on, of course, the Lethal Mullet Network at lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on the socials at The Lethal Mullet. You can also check it out on YouTube very soon on the Spacebook Network, hosted by the one and the only co-host here, Dan, the man from Birmingham, Dan Hadley. All here. And don't panic, we'll be back.
And now it's time for the news here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
All right, the news here as we know it and as we do it. That's, of course, a little bit of an insight into what is upcoming on the show and, of course, in the next couple of weeks. Heading into Easter and, of course, into the year of 2023. Hard to believe it's this late in the year already. You know, it still feels like it's Christmas was only a few weeks away. Back in 22. Folks, we've got obviously Rage of Honor tonight, wrapping up very soon our Ninja series of flicks. We're going to be looking at Ninja 1 and 2 soon. Of course, there's Scott Adkins ones, which are actually a lot of fun. And one of them actually stars Kane Kasugi. It's the second film. And you can see those all on streaming. I do believe they're on Netflix here in Australia. And you can see some of them on the MGM side. On, of course, the one, the only Amazon Prime, which is, to be honest, such a fantastic streaming service. And it's the one I've had on the whole time. I mean, not only just because Amazon Prime, you get free shipping and delivery with all items so long as you're a member of Amazon Prime. So it's pretty damn cool. So, folks, with that, of course, we're heading into some great specials upcoming, things that you've asked for. And apart from China O'Brien, which will be just after the Ninja specials, we're also looking at a few live specials here and there of films that you've been talking about for a little while. I've been talking about for a long time, and I certainly want to go through and really dive into. I'm lost for words because I love these films, and especially some nice new additions of them coming out in the last few years. So, without further ado, we'll tell you about some of the ones upcoming we've got, which literally I'm just going to sporadically put out over the next couple of months, whenever I have time. So we have the classic Robot Jocks. That's right, the Gary Graham classic. We're talking about, of course, the one with Anne-Marie Johnson, Paul Coslow, of course, Robert Sampson. This is the low-budget classic, which is really, you know, something that was a live-action look at the big robots, you know, of the 1980s. Everything from Voltron to Battletech, MechWarrior, Robotech, Gundam, and beyond. And it actually is one that a lot of us absolutely enjoyed. Of course, directed by the one and only Stuart Gordon. And that's going to be a good one to look into. We've also got another classic. Now, this is a little bit later. This is in the 90s. This is called The Shadow, directed by the Highlander's own Russell Mulcahy. And starring, of course, Alec Baldwin, John Lone. Classic John Lone. Oh, wow. Getting into his material alone just in that episode is going to be great. And, of course, you know, this is something that really is, you know, the sort of typical feel of something like a Batman film, because the Batman was based on things like The Shadow. That was an influence on it. And let me tell you, folks, this is a great one. Of course, this one, The Shadow, takes on the most dangerous nemesis yet, Shiwan Khan. Played by John Lone. That's right. Except in the... they do stuff that up. They've written in the blurb, John Joan. In The Last Emperor, John Joan. Okay. But, of course, better known for, of course, The Hunted with Christophe Lambert. Queer. That's the other one. Also, we've got in that same one, it's got Penelope Ann Miller, Ian McKellen, Tim Curry, Jonathan Winters, and directed by, of course, Highlander's Russell Mulcahy. We're going to be looking at that. Now, one that you all have been talking about for a little while, and you know I'm a big fan of it, and you know, when we're talking about this film in particular, this is something that came out hot in the wake of Star Wars Return of the Jedi, and it was something that used CGI to its best. And, of course, we're talking about the one, the only, The Last Starfighter. And, of course, you know, one of the few that's been lucky enough to find the Blu-ray. Out here in Australia, it's like a needle in a haystack, folks. In that one, we've got, of course, a number of different editions of behind-the-scenes footage and features. which we're going to be going into. And of course, there's a commentary on it as well with the cast and crew, and of course, everything from the scripting, casting, and of course, all the effects work on it too. Crossing the Frontier, making it The Last Starfighter. There's also another feature commentary for the director and production design as well too. That one's a classic, and of course, it is one starring Lance Guest and Robert Preston, and of course, many, many others. And of course, directed by the one and only Nick Castle. We're going to get into that one in a big way, folks. Another one we're going to be looking at is, of course, the Walter Hill classic Streets of Fire, which is basically a graphic novel set in, of course, a very Chicago-like universe that is heightened to reality. And we've got members from the Terminator films in that. Bill Paxton's in it, along with Michael Paré, of course, and many, many others. Willem Dafoe playing the villain in it. We've got Rick Moranis in it, too. But it is a classic. It's a great one. It's a rock and roll film, too, folks. All on that one, too. Very 80s, very now. Payback from Mel Gibson we're going to be looking at. This is a classic film, of course. One that in the 90s was, you know, one I didn't know much about. And looking back at the Blu-ray as we speak right now, you know, this is a classic film, which if you get the Blu-ray, you're lucky enough to get the edition I've got. It's got the theatrical version plus the director's cut, something very rare for Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers never do special features. Come on, Warner Brothers. That doesn't mean you have to spend money. Yes, they don't. Because in this one, you get a great writer-director commentary in this from Brian Helgeland, who, of course, did the work on this one. Interviews with Mel Gibson, Mario Bello, Lucy Liu, and James Coburn. Jimmy Coburn, student of the one and only Bruce Lee. Yes. The ways of the intercepting fist and many other things too. You get some great features of this one. Paybacks are a bitch on location in Chicago. Paybacks are a bitch on set in Los Angeles. Same story, different movie. Creating the payback, the director's cut. And of course, that's looking back on, of course, what the original edition was with Brian Helgeland was a very different film, a very 70s film, but didn't fare well with, of course, the reviewers that were about to put out the movie. And of course, after that, Mel Gibson came in and basically turned it into a Mel Gibson film. And I mean, I love the theatrical edition, but it's interesting to watch Brian's take on where he was going with things too. The Hunter, a conversation with author Donald E. Westlake too, looking at the original versions of that too. Now, you asked for it. We're going to do it. Starship Troopers, folks. Yes, Starship Troopers. We're going to be looking at very, very soon here as well. This is a great Universal Blu-ray, of course. Or Touchstone Pictures one, by the way. There you go. But this one, of course, has many great things. Making of, screen test with Johnny and Carmen in it. You know the film. We don't need to say too much more. We're also looking at Jean-Claude Van Damme's Kickboxer, a film I'm surprised we haven't done yet. It is one of the great classics. I mean, it's the first 5 or 6 Van Damme films are absolute winners. And of course, some of his A-grade ones at the time in the 90s were as well, of course, you know, Time Cop and Hard Target, of course, and Universal Soldier while he was in his highest peak. But, you know, these classics, Bloodsport, Cyborg, and Kickboxer, Death Warrant, you know, it's like the first 5 Seagal ones. They're classics, folks. You have to watch them, and without a doubt, some of the best. To that little sound, it comes on grooving down the Gold Coast way. He got a big long blonde money, and he watches VHS. You know you want the sound. And I've been working long, long, long days ahead, working in front of a VHS. From 1980, from the 90s to the 2000s, there's some damn good films. From Arnold to Sly to Jean-Claude, Dolph. We cover all of those flicks.
You have to be a man and have to have a mullet.
Hey, mate, how you going? Come on in, mate. Yeah, yeah. What shall it be?
Oh, yeah. Man, it's been real busy day, you know? Oh, wow.
Right,
yeah.
Mate.
Hey. Yeah. Yeah.
Just like I was telling my mate the other day, you know, have a nice, you know, cold beverage and enjoy the show about, you know, films and all that sort of stuff. You know?
Well, here you go, mate. Here, enjoy this beverage and enjoy this film chat.
All right, folks, we're back here to chat about, of course, The Rage of Honor, a film which was a little bit hard to find in Australia in the 1980s, particularly up in the end of Brisbane, which I was living in, because you could easily find Pray for Death, Enter the Ninja, and, of course, Revenge of the Ninja, and some of the other ones that he'd done, Nine Deaths of the Ninja. This is all the times of VHS, of course. You know, what's interesting about that time is that, you know, people were really out to collect the martial arts films, and particularly, you know, even the bad ones, you know, the Taiwanese ninja films, which were not really ninja films, you know. They were films which we'll talk about. We'll definitely do an episode on the majority of them. I don't know if I'd specifically go on just talk about one of those films, because there's a whole bunch of them, and they're literally Taiwanese soap operas that have been chopped up and put in with some, you know, people dressed in ninja outfits for basically little fight scenes. And you're meant to believe that it's some of these soap opera actors being the action stars in those films. And, you know, there's some funny titles like Ninja Terminator. Yes, yes, folks, Ninja Terminator is one of those. And, you know, but in the 1980s, when American Ninja came out in particular, everyone wanted a piece of Ninja, you know, when it came to VHS. You wanted it for your collection because it was such a hot property at the time. And, I mean, obviously that led on to the kids stuff too, you know, all the Surf Ninjas, Beverly Hills Ninja, and even on cartoons and comics with, of course, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as well, okay? So it's definitely something that hit across all those areas, didn't it? You know, and that's what made it interesting, I think, for all of us to dive into. But Shokosugi was definitely the leader of the pack when it came to that stuff. It wasn't Franco Nero from Enter the Ninja, you know, a last-minute addition to something that obviously became such a huge hit. And Menahem Golan directed that film, and it, you know, still to this day, you know, is a classic, you know, in the Philippines, you know, in Manila, obviously, and, you know, with, obviously, the sort of feel of it. And Shokosugi really came in there and really showed off his abilities. He's an interesting actor, definitely an interesting martial artist, and how much ninpo or ninjutsu, which, you know, again, whether that's even a real thing, folks, we'll get into soon. But, you know, it is interesting. It's certainly a different, you know, line of films than what had been coming up. And between that, you know, we had The Octagon, which was kind of a ninja film. The bad guy was a ninja, played by the Aussie that we know only so well, of course, one of the co-creators, of course, of the amazing Zendo Kai Karate over here in Australia, which was an offshoot of freestyle, Muay Thai, and, of course, Goju-Ryu. Goju-Ryu, as taught by, of course, Tino Sobrano, Kate Sobrano's father, and, of course, my own founder of the style I'm currently doing, Gokan-Ryu. Of course, Kancho Robert Sullivan was one of the many that are in that too, which is interesting. So in a time of ninja, you know, ninja are one thing that obviously was driving this thing, the mysterious art with a mysterious past, you know. It is something that, you know, not a lot of people knew about. Because what do we know back in the 80s apart from kung fu, judo, jiu-jitsu, and karate? You know, these were the four big ones. And, you know, apart from that, it was kendo, I guess, you know, to some degree. But it was largely popular, you know, due to those four styles. So when ninjutsu came through, and obviously that was already popular in Japan, you know, it was something that was kind of like, you know, superhero-like, less martial arts-like. More just supernatural, superpowers, you know, these are beings that are far beyond human power, you know. And I think that's the thing is, a lot of people didn't realize that, you know, it was really like Batman for Japan in the 1900s, you know? Yes, there is definitely martial arts that are influenced by that. If not, go out and definitely take that mold, you know, of the supposed shinobi that we see in films and popular culture. But ninjutsu in real life is not that at all. It's a completely different kettle of fish. These are all samurai arts, is what they really, truly are. You can look at the system, of course, the one we see within Bujinkan, which comes from the Togakureru system. And then, of course, the majority of the systems in that style of Bujinkan are from the samurai. And that's literally what it is. Now, they obviously, you know, I'm somebody that studied Bujinkan and myself. And, you know, you definitely, there's more samurai influence than you will believe in that style. And obviously, too, with that, you know, there's elements of the great arts in there. Particularly, you know, it's an older style because it came from the days when they were using this in, you know, the Warring States period and all that sort of stuff. Those, you know, the taijutsu itself was going back to the body arts of the old days, the unarmed arts. Not just those of the weaponry, and of course the weaponry that is that of the samurai. Samurai used that stuff, and of course the ronins and all that sort of stuff. So, when you're watching these 1980s films, you got to keep that in mind, that this is pretty much, very much a superhero-like, you know, style of things. Because the ninja weren't ninja. The shinobi no mono, as they're really called, were literally information gatherers for, of course, samurai elite. They are samurai. Samurai is a class. It is, you know, a class within the hierarchical structure of many classes in Japan in its feudal era. And the shinobi no mono were literally those that went behind enemy lines, went into places that most people can't get into, and found what they needed to find. So when we look at, you know, somebody as great as a Shokosugi, who is a karate stylist, actually. He's done many martial arts, but of course the most prominent one he has done is, of course, karate. Shokosugi is a fantastic martial artist and is very adept at weaponry. Kabuto, you know, he really knows his way around the different weapons that are, you know, in these styles. And that's what made him the best candidate for obviously becoming somebody involved in this style of film. Obviously, being in the 70s, he being in, moved from Japan to the United States, and he worked in as a bit part player in films. He'd done a number of ones in TV here and there, and almost was at a point of almost giving up acting altogether. And that is until, obviously, the late 70s, early 1980s. In 1980, when, of course, we're called up to Enter the Ninja. And you can see everything that he is capable of doing in that film. There's a number of scenes where we get to see him doing kata with the different weapons, the nunchoku, the tonfa, sai, staff, spear, ninja to, which arguably isn't a real sword. But anyway, it works within the confines of these films, and particularly became well known thanks to the work, of course, of Shokosugi in these as well. It's an interesting sword, one that's used in this film as well. And actually, he had a hand in designing the swords and weapons for this movie, which you're about to chat about in a sec. So it's interesting. He's somebody that's definitely lived an interesting life and still doing now. To this day, you can find him on YouTube talking about obviously his background in film, but also his work in martial arts and what it meant to learn all these different systems and stuff that he has. You know, it's not just what he hasn't just done karate. He's done, you know, I think a myriad of other systems and obviously some of this ninjutsu as well. So I do say if you want to check out what ninjutsu in the real world was really about, go and check out Anthony Commons' Bunsen Shukai translation. It's called The Book of Ninja. It's got annotation and stuff in it. And he's a historian that's looking into what it means to be, you know, the ninja of the old, with shinobi no mono. And it's a real eye-opener, folks. I've
I've had that book since about 2020, and it's definitely an interesting read alone. All right, so let's get into it. Rage of Honor.
An interesting film, folks. We're going to lead us in with a little bit of a blurb here. So, hot off of Pray for Death from 1985, Shoko Sugi, the Japanese John Wayne of ninja cinema, is back in action. This is brought to you by the Cult Movie Collection, which I had to get from the UK, folks. So this is part of the 101 films from Hollywood Classics from MGM. When his partner is murdered by a sadistic drug dealer, narcotic cop Shiro Tanaka, played by Kasugi, vows revenge. Disobeying orders, he tracks the killers from Singapore to Buenos Aires. But in a cruel twist, the killers kidnap Tanaka's girlfriend and take her deep into the jungles of South America. Now, armed with an arsenal of deadly weapons, Tanaka must use all his powers to destroy a battalion of highly trained terrorists and get her back. That's pretty much the crux of the film, folks, and it definitely follows that format. And we start out with a very Bond-like opening where we get to see Shoko Sugi and his partner, Ray, go out and basically start hunting down these guys. And what's interesting, we get to see him using guns. Now, we haven't seen him use firearms, well, not to this extent anyway, in this film. You know, we're used to seeing him use unarmed darts or his ninja weaponry, his arsenal of weapons, particularly in films like Pray for Death and Revenge of the Ninja. But in this one, it's interesting. He's playing a cop, so he's got to do what the cops do. And that's what makes it even more interesting. So the opening even has a speedboat chase through these waters, which kind of reminds me of some of the Roger Moore scenes in the first couple of Bond films that he did. And he did some Hellgood stunts using, obviously, that too. What's interesting in this one, we get to see him really taking the lead as basically it looks like James Bond of his own movie, if you like. Directed by Gordon Hessler. This is the same director from, of course, Pray for Death. And this is a step above that. You know, Pray for Death was very much a revenge flick as well. But in this one, this is a revenge flick of a different type. You know, this is, a cop whose partner was killed, and then they... or in this case, you know, he's going after these guys because basically what happens is his partner gets killed, but then they take his girlfriend. So we get to see, you know, different parts of the world in this too. Obviously, we get to see Singapore and Buenos Aires as well. So this is, you know, largely shot in South America. And you could tell, you got that feel of the area too. And it's beautifully shot for the kind of budgets they would have had back here too. So, interesting enough. And I think that's what makes this. Now, we're going to look at the cast now here on the show. Shoko Sugi plays Shiro Tanaka. Quite an interesting role for, I think, Sho, who was, you know, he's always played... somewhat of a lead, played a lot of bad guys too, obviously too, through the ninja films up until Revenge of the Ninja. You know what you're getting with Sho back here. You know, he was delivering fantastic stuff, particularly even in the film Nine Deaths of the Ninja, which we've covered here a couple of years ago as well. Now, Havelock is the main bad guy in this, who's an interesting, almost Bond bad guy-like character, played by Louis Van Bergen. An interesting actor. I think of this, you know, Rage of Honor, obviously, coming out a few years later, 87, I do believe, here in Australia. And that's, you know, an interesting time period in itself, you know, it was like when that film came out. So let's have a look at it. Louis Van Bergen was alive up until 2018, so the late Louis Van Bergen, 1938 to 2018. He was born in New York City, and he was an actor known for Bugsy, The Relic, and Modesty Blaze as well in 1982. It was interesting about this villain, you know, he's quite tough. Now, he's also in Street Night back in 93, folks. We know who's in that one, don't we? That's right, Speak Man. That's right. He was in the TV series Hunter. He played the character Armand. In Bugsy, he played Joey Adonis. In Renegade, he played Joe Cortez.
So we're definitely in the same sort of era of film TV too. He's got a very happy-go-lucky sort of attitude, I think, as a villain in this, and it makes it interesting, nonetheless. So, the director, Gordon Hessler, was born in Germany. He was the son of a Danish mother and an English father. He was educated in England, but also came to the US when he was in his late teens, it was. And, of course, he moved into working on documentaries. And he was working at Universal at the time. And from here, he's under contract to Alfred Hitchcock and went to work on the director's TV series, which was, of course, known as Alfred Hitchcock Presents. I wonder if Tom from, of course, that podcast we know so well on FPN, dealing with, of course, Alfred Hitchcock, knows all about that one too. So, interesting, and sadly he passed away in 2014 too. So, then we've got Gary Gibson in this, we've got Charles Lucia playing Dick, we've got Richard Wiley, Robert Evans playing Jennifer Lane, Carlos Estrada, Ulysses Dumont, Theodore McNabee, we've also got Armando Capo playing Juan, and we've got Alan Emile and Marley Jepson playing Girl in Convertible in this one too. Now, what's interesting is, when you look it up at IMDb, there's a number of films which you'll know very well when I tell you, when it says more like this, this is one of some of those. So we've got Pray for Death, Revenge of the Ninja, Nine Deaths of the Ninja, Enter the Ninja, and then all of a sudden, Doberman Cop. Now, when I see Doberman Cop there, I'm kind of like, hang on. It's crazy enough just to see who's in this. And guess who's in it, folks? You're going to love this one. Shinichi Chiba. That's right, Shinichi Chiba, better known as Sonny Chiba. This is a film I think I'm gonna have to trace down, because the what you see on the front is hilarious. On the poster up, it says a tough as nails cop from Okinawa investigates a savage murder in Tokyo's nightlife district. Originally dismissed as a bumpkin, he soon proves more savvy than the local police. All right, we're definitely checking that one out, folks. Oh, you gotta love it. You gotta love it. So we've talked about that. This is the only Shokasugi movie where his sons do not appear in the movie. That's right. So they definitely did that. They did a lot of that where they brought them in and did a number of those here and there. So what's interesting is obviously Kane's gone on to become quite a well-known martial artist. And obviously he's doing a lot of that now too, doing a film and stuff too. All right, let's have a look at some of the trivia here. Shiro Tanaka lost his crossbow to the natives when his rope breaks crossing the waterfall gorge. They pick it up and shake it at him as they're taunting him. Immediately after, he is shown once again with the crossbow slung on his back. Then it's gone again in the next shot. Continuity gone wrong, folks. Factual errors. When the natives shoot arrows at Shiro Tanaka as he crosses the waterfall gorge on a rope, an arrow supposedly gets shot through the rope at right angles, but they are shooting almost directly straight along the rope at him, and this would be impossible. Well, that's true. But here's another mistake in the film. When the arrow is shot in the rope ahead of Shiro Tanaka, several views the rope and arrow and Shiro Tanaka in the same frame show the arrow is actually tied to the rope on the side away from the camera, and its close-up is suddenly sticking through the rope and the rope is cut and breaking. So the rope scene looks like it's got quite a bit going on there. So the film has some great points here and there where we get to see some great action from Sho. Obviously one of the big ones is when he storms one of the bases where obviously the bad guys are, and we see him pull out a 1911, and you know, we haven't seen him ever use a gun before, and we almost do, but of course he uses it once, but the rest of the time he's using his hands, feet, head, whatever he can. It's the only real karate scene in the film. The rest of it is using all these different weapons that he's made himself or brought through in the film itself, and it's fantastic. Some of the stuff you get to see is hilarious, folks. Particularly when we start to see him using swords and stuff like that. And then obviously it goes straight to ninja territory when he's got the terrorists after him as well. And then, of course, we've got the main bad guy, Havelock, having a battle with him too. This is a film which is right up there with Nine Deaths of the Ninja as far as quality. You know, I think out of all of the films, it's definitely the most risky. It's different. Obviously, Shogun Maeda and films like that that we've talked about before. But this one is definitely on the different sort of ninja level. This is a 3.5 out of 5 on the Hallenbach Scale. Thank you for listening. We hope
you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Blood of Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. The True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Union Federation, our Star Trek and the Orville show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. The Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.